world. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That was the message given to the shepherds that cold night some 2,000 years ago. The shepherds, the first to learn of the good news. And they should have been the last. You know, scholars had been studying the scriptures for centuries, trying to plan for that moment. The religious leaders had been praying for centuries, waiting for that moment. The astrologers had been studying the sky, looking for the signs of the time that this moment was going to happen. And when it happened, the only ones who got word of it were a bunch of shepherds. It makes absolutely no sense at all. If you wanted to get the message out about the most important thing to ever happen in human history, the Savior of the world being born, God coming not just among us, but becoming one of us, shepherds would have been the last people you should have told. Because in the first century world, shepherds were the outsiders. You couldn't get any more on the outside than being a shepherd. They were invisible. Most people paid no attention to them. They were poor. They were uneducated. They smelled. I mean, they lived with the sheep, after all. And they had a reputation of being dangerous, of not being trustworthy. If you were to see a shepherd coming towards you down one side of the street, you'd be most likely to cross the street to get to the other side. And the story tells us that the very first people to ever learn of the Savior's birth were shepherds. What are we supposed to do with that, God? That doesn't seem to make any sense at all. I mean, if I were the angel and I wanted to get the word out to all of the people of the world, I would find a quicker, more efficient, more reliable way to do it. I wouldn't show up in a field to a bunch of backwater shepherds telling them to be the ones to spread the message. No, I would have appeared in the president's bedroom and said, "You've got to hold a press conference tomorrow. Get all of the cameras pointed on you so that the word could get out." I would have showed up on Oprah, right? If you want to get the message out, get Oprah on your side, right? I would have just appeared in the middle of her show, man. I'd have been like, "Oprah, tell the people the Savior has been born." I don't know, I would have sent an email or put it on Facebook or did something that would have got the message out there. But that is not what God did. God sent the angel to the shepherds. God sent the angel to those who should have been the last to hear the message. They were the first. What does that tell us about Christmas? What does that tell us about Jesus? What does that tell us about God? If shepherds are the first to get the message, maybe that tells us something really interesting about God. Because what does a shepherd know after an angel comes and gives them that kind of news? What does a shepherd know that maybe the rest of us don't know? See, if the announcement comes that the Savior of the world has been born and a new kingdom is about to emerge among us, and you as a shepherd are the first to learn of it, it tells you that that promise that the angel made, that behold, there is good news for all people, must be true. Because if you start with those who are the least likely to be invited into that kingdom, if they're the first to know it, then when the angel comes and says, this is good news for all people, then all must mean all. The angel didn't say, behold, I bring good news for some people. Behold, I bring good news for most people. No, the angel said, behold, I bring good news for all people, and if the shepherds are the first to know, then all must mean all. Every time we hear that story of the shepherds in the field, our heart ought to just start racing in our chest, for here is a God who proclaims a kingdom far bigger than we could ever imagine, so inclusive that it reaches out beyond the pales of the edges of society to embrace the entire world. God so loved the world that God gave his only son, and the first ones to give testimony to that were the shepherds. What else does it mean if the shepherds are the first? The first to learn of the love of God among us. What does that tell us about this God? What does it tell us about this kingdom? That we're all equal. That we all have a chance to sit together in God's good graces. There's another thing it tells us. It tells us something about what good news is. Good news for a shepherd is far simpler than good news for most of us. Good news for a shepherd was a warm meal on a cold night. Good news for a shepherd was a warm jacket to protect yourself from the cold. Good news for a shepherd was somebody who looked them in the eye, who didn't assume that they must cross to the other side of the street. Good news for a shepherd is when someone calls them by their name. See, the good news of God's kingdom may be far simpler than we could have ever imagined. And that good news comes first to the shepherds. But we've got to ask, who will be the ones to hear the good news first among us? When I was working with Andy on that drama, didn't he do a nice job? Andy, great job out there. He's sitting in the back. I said, Andy, think about it. The shepherds were the first ones to get the good news. Who would be the first ones to get the good news in our day? He says, I work midnights at McDonald's. There ain't nothing closer to being a shepherd than that. He says, I couldn't imagine what it would mean like if the angel of the Lord showed up at the midnight shift at the McDonald's someday and said, hey, you McDonald's workers, I've charged you with the responsibility of going telling the world that the Savior of the world has come. He said, you'd look just like you look right now. You wouldn't believe the story. Where are the shepherds? Will you see the shepherds this Christmas? Will you see those invisible people who often get missed? Think about that poor checkout person at the Target. They are already counting down the days to Christmas to be over with. What would it mean to look that person in the eye when you're checking out and say, I really hope you have a Merry Christmas and really mean it? And look at their name on their tag and surprise them and call them by name. They'll work an 8, 10, 12-hour shift during the season, and no one will call them by name. If you believe the good news comes to shepherds first, call them by their name. What about that waitress or server at your favorite restaurant? Will you make sure that they know that the good news of Christmas has come this year? You want to blow your waitress away? One time during the Christmas season, tip your bill. match your bill with your tip. Don't say anything. Just leave it there, and on your way out, say, hey, Merry Christmas. Because Christmas comes first to the shepherds, to those who are the least likely to hear the good news, to those who are most likely to be forgotten. I don't know if you flipped on the news at all on Friday after the big shopping day and to get the projections on what it would look like. It's projected this year that Americans will spend $437 billion during the holiday season. $437 on that new sweater to replace the new sweater you got me last year. No offense, I love the sweater. I really do. You got great taste in sweaters. $437 billion to get that new gadget or that new gadget. $437 billion in gift cards. Do you have any idea of how much money it'll take to solve the world's water problem? Water, access to clean water. The number one thing that kills the poorest people of the world is access to clean water. How much will it take to solve the world's clean water problem? $10 billion. The shepherds of the world waiting for Christmas to come. Now, I'm not one to... I love Christmas shopping for my family. I love getting those gifts under the tree. This isn't one of those feel guilty about what we buy kind of sermons. It's just to ask us, have we lost the true power of Christmas? Do we still believe that Christmas comes and changes the world? Because if you don't believe Christmas comes and changes the world, then you need to go back 2,000 years and ask the shepherds. Ask the shepherds, did Christmas change the world for them? Did Christmas make a difference for them? Were they suddenly included in God's kingdom in a way that they weren't before? And we ask if the shepherds of our day, if the poor and the prisoners, if the hungry and the homeless, wonder if this year's Christmas will change the world for them. Don't you want Christmas to come and change the world again? There's nothing more than I want than to have a Christmas that will change the world. There's an amazing thing happening across the country right now. The churches of Jesus Christ are waking up to the reality that Christmas is God's call to change the world, and that Christmas and the message of it must first come to those who are the least likely to hear it. Churches around the country and around the world are deciding that their job in the story is to be the angel. Friends, we are to be the angels. We are to be the ones who go to the places where the voice of God is least likely to be heard and say, guess what? It's good news and it's great joy and it's for all people, and those people include you as well. And what they're doing is they're standing up in front of their congregations and they're saying, what are we going to do this year to make sure that the good news of Christmas is really, really experienced by those to whom Jesus first came? There's a movement among churches called the Advent Conspiracy. The conspiracy of Christmas to take it back for what it really meant. And so that the only ones who don't have the only ones who don't get the good news are the realtors who have sold us that Christmas simply is what shows up under our tree. Thank goodness for YouTube, because it's getting the message out there. Here is the Advent Conspiracy. 600,000 people have seen that video thanks to YouTube, which means churches and Christians around the world are waking up to the reality that this Christmas can make a difference in the lives of the people that first heard the message, in the lives of the shepherds. Mike Slaughter at Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church in Tip City, Ohio, just north of Dayton, a large United Methodist church, in 2004 stood up in front of the congregation and said, "Guess what? Christmas is not your birthday." And then he challenged his congregation to take what they were going to spend on Christmas and cut it in half. And with that other half is to give it to their work in Darfur, in the Sudan, the largest humanitarian crisis in the world. And Mike stood up there and trembled each week, afraid that his challenge to that congregation would fall on deaf ears. But by the close of the Christmas Eve service, that congregation that worships about 1,000 on a Sunday had raised over $325,000. Last year, in 2008, amidst the worst economy in recent history, Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church raised over $725,000, all of it going to Darfur, to the poorest of the poor. But it's not just happening in large churches like that are 1,000. My friend Jill Zundell, Jill's the pastor of New Grace United Methodist Church in New Baltimore. There's 160 members in that church. She got inspired about the message of Christmas coming first to the shepherds, and she stood up last Christmas and said, "Let's have a miracle. Let's have a miracle in this church this Christmas." She challenged that 160-member church to raise $10,000 by Christmas Eve. $10,000 that would build a church in Liberia. And on Christmas Eve, she sat there trembling and watched the total come in to be over $12,500 raised by a 160-member church. And this last year, she stood there and laid the cornerstone of a church that has now become the healing center, the spiritual center for a village in the poorest regions of Africa. So what does it mean for Redford Aldersgate? Where is God calling us to go? To be the voice of the angel? Well, I figured it out. Paul DiNapoli told me, God's calling us to go to Haiti. It happened over spaghetti this summer. If you've never had any of Paul DiNapoli's spaghetti, don't. Because as soon as you have it, God's going to call you into things you didn't plan on being called into. I was there having spaghetti at Paul's house, and we started talking about mission work. And Paul said to me, "Jeff, sometime when the church goes on one of those trips, I want to go." And I said, "You want to go? Why don't you lead one?" And he said, "I don't know about that, but we'll see where it goes." And Paul and I had been talking about Haiti and what God was calling the churches to do in Haiti right here in our hemisphere. And Paul said, "Jeff, I'm looking at, a year, maybe 2 years away." Last week, Paul sat in my office and said, "Jeff, we're going to Haiti in March." God's opened the doors for Redford Aldersgate to be in Haiti this March. The Wyandotte Church is going to Haiti. Paul's going to Haiti. And Paul sat in my office on Wednesday and said, "Jeff, you're going to Haiti too. And if anyone else would like to go to Haiti this March, make sure you see me or Paul after the service, because we're sure that is where God is calling us to go." Why Haiti? 80% unemployment. 50% of Haitians live on less than a dollar a day. Less than 20% of Haitians ages 15 and over can read and write. There are currently over 150,000 AIDS orphans on this tiny little country in the Western Hemisphere. Haiti is the poorest country of the Western Hemisphere. Want to see a miracle this Christmas? Let's go to Haiti. If you want to help Redford Aldersgate go to Haiti this year, go home and pray with your family and talk about your Christmas giving and see if there's a way that we can make a miracle happen right here in this church. $5,000 sends a team from Redford Aldersgate to Haiti this year. But that money goes to build schools and make hospitals and build churches and do those kinds of things that happen. I, as your pastor, I look forward to sitting back here and seeing a miracle happen this Christmas. God's called us to enter the story. And how are we called to enter the story? To be the shepherds. I mean, to be the angels who bring good news to the shepherds. Friends, it's time to go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ has been born.
Thank you.